Toku Secrets is a podcast run by the Anime Secrets website. Check us out at animesecrets.org for more anime, video game, tokusatsu content. Remember to follow us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, or wherever you listen to podcasts today.
Hi guys, I'm Hunter Dino. I'm your pink Dino Fury Power Ranger and your red Cosmic Fury Power Ranger, and you're listening to Toku Secrets Podcast.
Welcome to Toku Secrets. Join us as we journey into the marvelous world of Super Sentai, Kamen Rider, Power Rangers, and many other tokusatsu. Get ready for the adventure of a lifetime. It's Morphin Time! Link to the Morphin. I'm Nathan Desai, the dazzling adventurer, Boken Silk.
I'm Patrick Allen, I'm Shinken Red.
And I'm Ridwan Merchant, Gokai Red.
And I'm Anthony Davis, also known as Kiryu Green. And we're Toku Secrets.
What is going on, guys? Welcome, everyone, to episode number 128 of the Toku Secrets podcast, presented by AnimeSecrets.org. And today, shortly before we kick into our next Sentai that we're regularly reviewing, we want to review the next couple of episodes, or Bakuages, as they're called, of the current Sentai that is airing, Bakuage Sentai Boom Boomger. We're going to be taking a look at Bakuages 2 through 4. We reviewed the first episode in depth, gave our overall thoughts on it, and, you know, what we, you know, what our first impressions were. We actually all liked it a lot. We all gave it a much higher rating than we gave the King Oger premiere, so that is a definitely good sign. So we got a little bit more to talk about than we did last time with Boom Boomger. We have the whole crew on, as you can tell from the intro. So I'll give a brief recap of last time, and then we'll jump right in. So the first episode primarily revolved around our, oddly enough, it actually did not revolve around the Red Ranger character a lot. It actually revolved around our future Pink Ranger. Her name was Mira Shifuto, who was taken from a forced wedding by a man named Taya Hondo, and he turns out that he's actually fighting against an evil group of aliens known as the Hashirians, as Boon Red. And Mira decides, you know, Mira, who's originally supposed to, like, go with her boyfriend and flee town, she's thinking, you know what? I don't want to let other people run my life or be in the driver's seat of my life, as this series puts it. And she decides, I want to take charge of my own life. So she leaves her boyfriend, and she becomes Boon Pink. She joins the Boon Boongers. And then we have the third person, who's Taya's serious and no-nonsense, like, informant, information gatherer, named Ishiro. And he's Boon Blue. And together, they are Bakuage Sentai Boon Boonger. And they have their Boom cars that can combine to form Boom Boom Robo, and they're assisted by this robot named Boondiro Boonderes. His name is Boon Boon for short. And the episode ended with Mira joining the team and Ishiro being against it. And that is a good way to segue into the next episode, the second episode, The Informant Does Not Approve, where pretty much most of this episode is... We get a little bit of backstory and some more stuff, since, you know, they kind of have to do that since the previous episode already established that Taya and Ishiro were already active as Boom Boongers. So we actually find out that Boom Boon he's not a robot. He's actually an alien who crashed on Earth, and Taya found him when he was a boy, and they quickly became friends. They created all the Boom Boonger stuff together because Taya is apparently a super rich person, which the first episode kind of hinted at, because he was going to buy a whole clothing store for Mira, which was pretty cool. But they didn't protect it. They didn't create it to protect the Hashirians. It's all part of their dream, but we don't know what that dream is yet. We find out that the Hashirians are a group of aliens from different planets. They're all part of something known as the Space Mafia, and they want to expand their turf, which I got some stuff to say about that because I actually really love that story. We find out in a flashback that Taya recruited Ishiro to join him. You know, he took a liking to him and his skills. And this episode ends with this. At the end of this episode, Ishiro is still very cold to Mira, but Taya is insisting that, you know, that he does trust her. Because so it's definitely going to be one of those things where, like, apparently, I think Ishiro has a nickname called Shashiro. I'm not sure like how you pronounce that, but he has that nickname, and Taya can call him that. But every time Mira calls him that, you know, it's like, no, you call me Ishiro. It's like that running gag in Dekaranger where Bon is constantly calling Hoji Aibo, his partner, and Hoji is all like, no, you don't call me partner. Stop that. Like, so. Yeah, so that about wraps this up, the recap up. So what do we think about episode two, guys? I just spoke for a little bit, so anybody want to go first?
It was fine. Like, I was expecting them to go into a little bit more of, I guess, Ishiro's backstory, but they kind of hinted at some stuff. I'm guessing they're going to flesh that out a little bit later. But this was more of like, yeah. This felt like it was more introducing the actual, like, day-to-day of how these guys function. We got more familiar with their base, so forth and so on. It just felt like more world-building. Well, getting the characters a little bit more accustomed to one another.
Riz, do you want to say anything?
Yeah, I was going to say, I think that's a good episode. We got some pretty interesting backstory to kind of lay a foundation. The Boon bot, I think his name is Boon, the robot?
Yeah, Boon.
Boon, yeah. We got some info on him. He's an alien. We found out that he met Taya, and they're friends now. And honestly, like Patrick said, it's more like a world-building type thing, but also we're getting a little bit more characterization for Isidoru and Taya. Not a lot, but you're getting small tidbits here and there that we're going to flesh out more. Like, for example, one thing that they mentioned in this episode is expanded on later in the next couple episodes that we get in terms of, like, the courier business that they're going through. Like, we see more examples of it. But there is still that mystery of what is the missing that Taya and Boon Boon originally had to create the Boon Boons or powers.
Yeah.
And, you know, he amassed so much money. But these are questions for another day still, which is fine. I like it. I'm okay with it. Because we're not getting, like, all the info at one time. I'm okay with getting piece by piece here. Because it feels more organic this way.
I mean, if we found out that Gira was like, you know, Dog Dead's like Jesus baby in like the second episode of King Ocher, the whole series would just be boring. So
exactly. So I mean, yeah. I'm okay with how we're going right now. The pacing's been really good. I really enjoy the three characters a lot.
Yep. You know,
I'm enjoying it so far because, like, I still think Mira is my favorite out of the three. I love Boon Red too. Like, I just love his, like, his cool demeanor of, like, being, like, both, like, you know, I appreciate, you know, Mira. She's, you know, I picked her for a cause, and that's, you know, that's what it's going to be. Like, Shashiro, you might not like it, but that's just how it is. Like, just,
you know, I want to get your guys' take on this because I'm kind of curious. So I actually was reading a recap of the episode on a guy who reviews these episodes regularly, Sentai, whenever they're airing. It's on the website, Dried Mangoes. He got the idea that, like, there's that Ishiro, based on the flashback that we see with him and Taya, that Ishiro might actually have a crush on Taya. Like, there might be like a romantic attraction. What do you guys
think? I don't see it.
No. I don't see it either.
I don't see it either.
That's part of our fandom trying to create things that are not.
Yeah.
Exactly, yeah.
There's not even a single inkling.
Uh-uh.
Is that five inklings? No, I need one more. An inkling.
Okay.
I was trying to get five inklings in my sentence.
I think in that flashback, he more so had this face of befuddlement, like,
okay,
who is this guy? Yeah. Kind of like surprise face, right, more than anything else.
I mean, and honestly, that's anyone's first reaction. That's Haya. I mean,
yeah.
What the heck is this guy with a nice car and all the money to be able to buy a clothing store just because he wants one outfit for the girls?
Mm-hmm.
Or mm-hmm. No, that's in the next episode. I can't say it here. It's in,
yeah.
Yeah, just throw money around like that. Like, who does that? So I don't blame him for having a reaction to the guy. It's valid.
Okay, I was just curious.
I do like that because this is the episode where he bought the junkyard too. I hope this becomes a running gag where he just buys things and places for the sake of convenience.
That was what I was wanting to mention, but I couldn't remember if this was the episode where he did it or the next one.
It was this one, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was getting confused. I forget episode 2 and 3, so it's like,
And I just also want to say, I love the backstory that they give the Hashirians, where they're like part of a space mafia trying to expand their turf. Like, that type of villain backstory fits perfectly in a Sentai like this.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And it's fantastic. I mean, they're not out to dominate the world. They're just looking to be mafia members, basically.
It honestly gives me vibes of the Bozok, the villains from Car Ranger.
Yeah.
Where they're not trying to conquer the world. They're just a bunch of stupid they're just a stupid biker gang out to cause chaos.
Yeah. They're trying to blow up Earth because they want to impress a bar hooker. I'm not even joking. Right. Oh, I love Car Ranger.
Car Ranger is amazing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, these Hashirians, I mean, okay, they're not going to be as, like, you know, deep, amazing villains like the Vyrum, but they're going to be fun.
Yeah.
You know? And that's perfectly fine. I mean, because, again, like, you know, to bring up Goanger, too, I really liked the Guy Arc villains, like, with their whole thing. Like, the villains have to be kind of fun in this sense. They don't have to be, like, deep, like emotional people like Ray or someone like that.
Yeah.
Okay. I just want to pollute the earth, dang it.
But what do we want to give Bakuage to, guys?
I'll give it an 8.
Yeah,
I'll go to an 8.
I'll go to 8 as well.
Cool. All right, now let's move on to Bakuage 3, The Driver Won't Stop. This is mostly a Mira-centric episode where Mira gets her first solo delivery job as a courier. Just a couple of notes about this one. We get our first auxiliary mech of the season, the Boom Boom Classic. It's a classic sports car-like mech. It transforms into a sword that can be used by Boom Boom Jirobo. And this episode actually ends. It sets up the next episode, and we'll talk about that when we get to it. Job Officer Joe Akuze, he's a bumbling police officer. We've seen him in all the previous episodes where he gets caught in the middle of the Boom Boomers battles. He arrives back at police headquarters where this mysterious woman claiming to be an investigator approaches him to ask him questions about the Boom Boomers. And we'll talk about where that leads into the next episode, but... yeah, that's about all we need to know about this one. So what do we think about episode 3, guys?
This episode was hilarious.
This episode was so adorable.
It's by far my favorite.
The skit of them, like...
I don't know if I say adorable or hilarious.
Yeah, like this that skit of them like sword clashing with the enemy, and then Mira just rides by on her bicycle, and then a few seconds later she comes back around.
And like how Taya and Isidore gave such a detailed reason for why she's doing that, only for her to be like, and just for her to be like, no, I thought you guys wanted me to ignore you guys, so I'm continuing on my mission.
And then Taya's like, I like that. What?
Dude, that interaction between her and Taya at the end makes me like Taya even more. Because like, I don't know what she's
right.
looking for.
It's like, she surprised like even us.
No matter what.
Yeah, she surprised even us. I respect that.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
And then that skit of him, like, the because he's a grandfather clock. He's getting sick of people moving, so he tells the mafia guys to stop moving. And then when he gets destroyed, they cut back to them on the bridge, and they're still cramping up because they don't want to move. It's like, this episode is so stupid, but I love it.
All right. I kind of missed these kind of like hilarious Sentais.
Yeah. This is what I was hoping it was when the stupid poster said coming Boone. I was hoping we'd get episodes like this.
Yeah, I was thinking, oh, please be one of those Sentais that's stupid and wacky and knows that it's stupid and wacky and embraces how stupid and wacky it is.
Yeah.
It did. Yeah. I mean,
literally every episode is like that one episode of, there's two episodes of Gokaiger technically, but it's like that episode of Gokaiger where the monster that was from the Car Ranger episode, like, falls in love with that Takayaki's person's mom. Oh, and there's like a scene in that episode where like the other monster of the day shows up and says, Gokaigers, I got a score to settle with you.
Yeah.
And then Joe was all like, well, you shut up. We're talking with these people. And he's like, okay. And
that episode really did nail the tone of Car Ranger perfectly. What is up with Red Racer getting alien women to fall in love with him? I don't get this.
Yeah.
What do they see in him?
But yeah, but this is one that I've
got. He got the Riz. He got the pizzazz.
The alien Riz.
Now, if anyone got the Riz.
Wait, you've never heard that? You've never heard that term before? You've not heard the term before, Riz?
I know the term. I know it very well.
Yeah.
In fact, I had some Zen Alpha and Zen Z feuds that were going around and saying they got more Riz than each other and this, that, and the other. I'm sitting here like, y'all can say y'all got all the Riz you want, but I'm the OG when it comes to Riz.
Your name is Riz. You can't get any more real than that.
With only onesie. With onesie. Riz spelled with two. But the Riz I'm talking about spelled with two.
Yeah, I know the phrase all too well. Nate, I'm giving this like a 9.5, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah, that. You don't need
this
two.
This is a
Z's.
9 for me.
Yeah, this is. I'm going to go with Riz one. This is a 9.5. This episode just. I was laughing the whole time. So.
This is my favorite. I'm gonna go with a 10 because this just made me laugh that much.
Was enough for me to give this a 9.5.
And right there, like, they're sword locked, and then she goes pedaling by, and the monster's like, "Stop moving!" Chases after her. It's like, what is happening? This is.
Yeah. Man, no problem with that. Like, if you want to give episodes like this a 10, I'm totally all for it.
I mean, I would, but I'm holding my 10 because I know there's going to be even more fun stuff later.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. All right, so now we got the last one that we're reviewing for the day. Bakuage 4, A Voice Calling for a Hero. This picks up from where the previous one left off, where the woman, her name is Saibu Shirabe. She's an investigator for the International Space Agency, ISA, and that... that investigates and monitors extraterrestrial activity. And she's become aware of the Hashirians, and she approaches the Boom Boomgers, June in tow. She demands that they turn over all their equipment and hand over their responsibilities to the ISA, but Taya says, no, we're not going to do that. Screw you. And if you try to arrest us, come at us. Like, just come at us. He literally says that. And June is inspired, especially by all the people, you know, growing to admire the Boom Boomers as heroes. But then the Boom Boomers, they defeat the monster of the day, and she's convinced to let them fight their way. But there's one condition. She wants to appoint someone to monitor them for the ISA, and you could probably guess where this is because, you know, the casting kind of already spoiled that. And not only that, but literally the ending theme song even kind of spoils this already. June is joining them. And we already knew that he was going to become a Boom Boomer because, I mean, we said in the previous video, too, that he's supposed to become Boone Black. So this is like a prelude to him becoming Boone Black. And what do we think about episode 4?
Low-key, I wasn't expecting the episode to go in this direction. Because it looked like it was going to be a silly comedic episode again at first when Mira got arrested. But then it turned into like a... I like this dynamic of the government agency catching on to what's going on early and then having them be like assistants to the team in some way. I don't know. There's just something about this dynamic that intrigues me for the future.
Yeah.
Because
it gives me a little bit of a... This is going off fandom, Patrick, but this is something that you and Anthony will understand, but Digimon Tamer vibes in terms of like...
Hypnos, yeah.
Hypnos working with the Digimon Tamers of that season.
Yeah.
Like, they don't necessarily, they're not on the same team in the beginning, but definitely they're all involved together and they know each other and what's going on.
Yeah.
So, yep. I mean, I actually like the direction they went in here because it gives a good opening to give more complicated dynamics later with character development.
Yep.
Because we can start having like interpersonal problems with the Sentai team and the ISA.
This episode makes me really like Taya, just the way that he just kind of looks, you know, Shirabe in the eye and just kind of, you know, just nonchalantly says, okay, you want to arrest us? Come at us. I don't care. We're going to do this our way and there's nothing you can do about it. But he says it with, like, this calm smile on his face. Like, again, I said this in the previous one, but, like, as someone who has seen his fair share of Sentai, Taya hits me in a way that I don't think any other Sentai Red ever has.
Yeah, I
really like Taya a lot. Yeah, he's... Like, I think I said it last time. He's a weird mix of super serious... Takeru Marvelous, while also being goofy like King or somebody like that, you know. But he does it in a way that's really cool. Like, he doesn't go over the top with the humor. His humor is more witty than it is, like, in your face. Because, like, with Gira, with King, with those kind of Reds, the humor is more in your face, more... Haha, look at me. I'm this overbearing personality. But he's not overbearing, but he's definitely still very quirky and very witty.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I gotta love how, you know, he's much different than the other Reds that we've gotten in these more comedic Sentais, because, I love Red Racer and I love Sosuke from Go On Red, but those guys are both kind of a bunch of dumbasses. I'm not gonna lie. Like, fun thing.
Go On Red. Go On Red is definitely like, an idiot.
Yes. Now he's a fun idiot. He's a lovable idiot. I'm not gonna trash talk Sosuke. He's a great character, but he's an idiot.
Yeah.
Complete dumbass.
Yes.
Go on Gold is applauding you in the background for saying that, by the way.
Exactly. I might start watching Go on here on the side.
I'm vouching for us to watch Gengar Man after. I'm vouching for us to watch Gowandra after we're done with Gengar Man. We need to do that.
I was actually going to recommend we go like into some of our newer Sentais after, but we should definitely discuss Gowandra more as well.
Yeah, honestly, we could put GoBusters on hold and probably do Gowandra.
We need to give the Gowandra the love it deserves. Honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah, because not enough people are loving Gowandra.
Yeah, I don't understand why it's not liked the Method Sentai, because everyone I've talked to loves it. But when you're looking at our Super Sentai Reddit, hardly anyone ever recommends it.
Yeah.
I don't. I've yet to understand that myself, but...
Because I was looking at Reddit earlier today, and I saw like a recommendation thread, and you know, they had the obligatory... Senkenzer, Gokaiser. Somebody said go watch Zero Ranger, and I was like, why?
Whatever.
Somebody put it under Gengar Man. I put it under go watch Time Ranger, because Time Ranger is pretty dang awesome. But no one in that thread that I saw mentioned Gowandra.
Yeah.
People mentioned Geki Ranger, and I'm just sitting here like...
No, Gowandra craps on Geki Ranger.
Oh, yeah. I remember that, too.
Patrick, Geki Ranger, craps on Geki Ranger.
But, yeah, I'm with these four episodes, I mean, I just want to say that, like, so far, like, and granted, I still have to watch everything after Ryu Soldier, you know, so I haven't seen, like, the first three seasons of this era, but... These two Reiwa era Sentai seasons that we've seen thus far, King Oger and Boom Boomger, like I feel like we're kind of low key, kind of in a new like golden. Well, I don't want to say golden age just yet because we need to have a couple of good Sentai in a row. But I feel like as of right now, we're in a pretty good. It's a pretty good time to be a Super Sentai fan.
Yeah, the season is definitely starting off on the right foot for sure.
Yeah,
I think part of this is coming from the fact that. There's a lot of speculation online, and I don't want to get too much into the speculation without having all the facts, but people have been saying the reason that Sentai has been getting better lately is because we no longer have Power Rangers trying to adapt it. So Japan's able to do whatever they want, how they want, without having to worry about the American audience as well.
They've also been introducing new writers. I think it's more so because you look at King Oger and this one, they're first time Sentai writers. We're getting new blood into the series. So they have ideas. They have fresh ideas. So maybe it's a turning of an era. So that has to
honestly, this is probably also like the head writers probably grew up on Sentai and they're enjoying it more like growing up on the Sentai that we like. Not like old school Sentai from like the Heisei era or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, so I could see them being like, oh, I'm a fan of Gowandra. I'm a fan of Car Ranger. I'm a fan of, you know, whatever, Time Ranger.
I had this idea in my head since I was a teenager. And I've been refining it for decades. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, I think King Oger, honestly, like, I probably is a longtime fan.
Mm-hmm.
And that was his way of getting his idea out into the world because the detail of what he wrote and gave, I mean, that's to me unparalleled in Sentai.
Mm-hmm. There are I'll wait until we're done talking about the episode because this is more of like a general thing I want to talk about.
What do we want to give episode 4 out of 10 just to wrap that up?
I'll give it an 8 also.
8.5?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll do 8.
Yeah, I'm giving it 8.
Yeah.
All
right, so what was it you wanted to say, Patrick?
There's a couple of little aesthetical things I wanted to talk about. The first thing is I love how these guys fight. The way that they use, like, the tires on their costumes is, like, extensions of their punches and kicks. How, like, when they attack with their swords and stuff, they turn it like a steering wheel to, like, direct shots around. Like, just that kind of goofy stuff makes the fights in the season have been very entertaining so far. And I love this thing of when they destroy the monster and that little thing comes in and absorbs the gasoline, and they have to chase them through, like, this cybernetic highway thing. Each one of those, they handle him in a different way. And they're kind of silly where they, like, drop on him and, like, smack him with the trailer like a hand or something. Like, they know how to keep each little thing about the show fresh. Because, like, the main mecha stuff can be a little bit exhausting sometimes in some of these shows because they usually get handled the same way. So this little highway thing is a way to, you know, keep it interesting.
Yeah.
Which I totally I think seasons like this, because even King Oger had that problem of the mecha fights, outside of them being like major conflicts, were just kind of like throwaway moments to me. And I haven't felt that
way. Sometimes we don't even have had them in episodes.
Yeah. And yeah, King Oger even acknowledged that you don't always need the mech fight. But Boom Booger is doing a way of keeping it interesting, and I respect it for that.
Yeah, I totally do too. Kind of makes up for a little bit that, like, Boom Boom Jarobo isn't exactly the most, isn't really the best looking mech. Not going to say it's bad. I mean, because it's not. Like, I'm not going
to. I will give it props for having. Yeah, I will give it props for one of its main methods of attacking is unscrewing the enemy's armor.
I love that so much.
Just
this is like the second episode where it's got like this giant drill screwdriver that it uses to, like, take things apart.
It's such a stupid way of dealing with the enemy, but I love it.
And that might actually be the most like wacky way that, like, a Sentai mech has done stuff. Because I mean Power Ranger and Go Onger had their, like, goofy mech battles, but it was some, like, it wasn't like a regular thing. Like, for example, there's like an episode where, like, they have to deal with a monster and Go Onger is where, you know, where, like, well, actually, no, I probably shouldn't say that because I don't want to spoil it for Riz. But to think of an example that you kind of see in Turbo, like, there's an episode where when the signalman puts on this, like, coat, it turns him evil. And then when he calls whatever his mech is called, I can't remember what it's called.
Yeah.
It's wearing the coat. And that's what makes it funny. Like, that stuff like that is funny, but it doesn't happen regularly. Like, if you look at RV Robo's finishing move, it's cool, awesome looking finisher, but it's something that would probably fit in just as well in, like, a serious Sentai. But even the finishing move of this mech is just wacky and stupid, and I love it.
Yeah,
like, so. Riz, you want to add anything?
No, I mostly agree with what Patrick was saying, and I mean, we had this talk before we got into the podcast, and yeah, he said basically what I was kind of thinking.
And we also mentioned the it wasn't necessarily a big issue with King Oger, but it did make the season feel a little bit more, like, it didn't make it feel as organic visually, where it was mostly done in green screens. I'm glad this season is doing more on location scenes. It's a bit of a fresh air. Because this was one of my personal issues with King Oger that I didn't really bring up because I didn't really know how to acknowledge it. But it was cool that they gave them the freedom to, like, make the world more unique in King Oger. But it came at the expense of everything being overly designed. I did not like the aesthetic of Chaku, to be honest with you, in hindsight. So, being, you know, in Tokyo again, I don't know. I just prefer it this way.
I have mixed feelings on that, because I think for King Oger, it worked.
It worked.
It and the aesthetics are really beautiful, when they were, like, you know.
Yeah.
But at the same time, to me, tokusatsu at the base level is Japanese special effects, which is why stuff like Godzilla, King Kong, and all the other Monsterverse stuff falls into the category of tokusatsu. But, you know, having these practical effects come back where, you know, there's a little bit of CZ in there, obviously, with the Zord fights and everything, but there's still a lot of, like, really good choreographical stuff and just overall well-designed aesthetics to the battles and all that. I enjoyed the battle scenes a lot in this.
Yeah.
Especially the creativity with the wheels, which I was hoping that we'd get stuff like that when I saw his suit design, when I saw all the tires everywhere. But I didn't know if we were going to get, like, them using the tires that much.
Yeah. And, yeah, I would say that that's probably, I mean, they didn't, I don't know if they did this in Goandra or not. I think they did it in, I think the Gokaiders did it when they were transformed as the Goandras. They definitely did it in RPM where they used, like, those wheel-like things at the end of the glove.
That was an RPM original idea. Goandra never did that.
Okay. Yeah, but I just think, like, using the tires, like, you know, those tire-like weapons, that's a much more creative premise than...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't... I guess I can't give Goandra credit for that if it was an RPM original thing.
Yeah.
So
Gokaiser just took that from RPM in the fight scenes.
We don't really need to talk about the villains. I mean, I think... I mean, we've pretty much gone over everything with their backstory. And they're going to be fun, you know, but not much to talk about just
yet. I do want to drop a passing comment that I love how they're basically don't interact with anybody. They just kind of put a key in something and then just laugh from the sideline. I don't know. There's just something about them being so mindlessly harmless.
Yeah, but again, it works in a Sentai like this. So I'm definitely not complaining about that.
Nah.
So let's do... And I know we're only four episodes in, so I mean, but so obviously these will be subject to change. But let's do our, you know, ranking of our three Rangers. Each of us can do that. Just like the opening ranking, since we have a general idea of what three people are like.
Mira, Taya, and Ishiro in that order. Mira just makes me smile like an idiot. I love her. She's just a dweeb. She's just an energetic dweeb, and I love her.
Yeah, definitely. My list is slightly different. It's Taya, Merritt, and Isidore.
I figured. But there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that at all.
I mean, honestly, I could have put anyone at the top, and I've been okay justifiably so
in saying
it, because these guys are all really good characters, but there's just something about Taya, like Nate said earlier, that we all feel drawn to because he's so different. Mm-hmm. And different in a good way.
Yeah.
I'm going to copy Patrick's ranking just because, well, I mean, first of all, I didn't mention this, but the third episode really made me like Mira, just with how determined she was to like deliver that boy's mirror, that's what really made me like her. I said this in the previous podcast, and I'm gonna say it again. I mean, Mira is already kind of making a case, and again, I still need to see these newer Sentai. I do hear that Kirame Pink is a pretty good pink, so I mean that could change it. But again, if I were to make a top five Pink Rangers, where I'm not allowed to like put in like Tsuruhime or Rita or any of the White Rangers, I'm only allowed to do pinks. Mira, at least for right now, she's making a huge case already to be like a number one for me. Like she's just that kind of character. And yes, I know that that's a statement on how there's not that many memorable Pink Rangers at the time. I get that, but I don't care. She's still a great character. Like like, even if Yuri was as good as, like, half the fan base tries to make her out to be, she would still be in the top five.
Mm-hmm. Spoilers, it's not that great.
Yeah, I know. what about you, Anthony? Your ranking? Yeah.
The Rangers.
The Rangers.
Oh, did you?
Oh, okay. That's cool, then.
I'm the odd one out. Hell yeah.
But do we want to give any more, just closing thoughts, on how we feel going into this? Because the next episode is, things are going to get shaken up pretty quick. Because these were like the last. It's actually fitting that we ended here, because these are the last episodes where we only have our main three. Because next episode, that episode I think has already come out in Japan, so we know that Boon Red is going to come, and then we know that Boon Orange is coming pretty quickly. So,
yep. Yeah,
this is definitely a fitting end. But mm-hmm. what closing thoughts do we have before we kind of enter? The next stretch.
Great first impression. The season's got my attention pretty well. So.
Yep.
Boom, 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 boom.
Yeah, this season is becoming so good that I'm starting to actually not hate those suits nearly as much. Now, granted, again, I sat through 50 episodes of Battle Fever J, so there was not a suit in the world that could spark my eyes. But
I mean, yeah. I'm the same way right now, because I really thought I was going to not like the season because of the suits, but honestly, the suits are growing on me.
Yeah, with their practical, with the tires being used as weapons and stuff, and I think in motion they look a lot better.
So, oh my god, yes they do. They look better than the damn poster we got.
Oh, and the poster looked atrocious.
Yeah, the poster did not do justice to what we ended up getting, and thank God, because if I had to look at the posters for, like, I don't know, 50 episodes, I'd make it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to what Boom Boom Jer has for the future. But that about wraps this up, guys who are listening. Next time we will be beginning our next Sentai that we're going to be reviewing from start to finish. We're going to be reviewing the first episodes, or in this case, chapters, as they're called. The first 10 chapters of Seiju Sentai Gingaman. We'll be taking a look at the first 10. We're definitely looking forward to taking a look at Gingaman. If you're watching this on YouTube, please like the video, subscribe to the channel if you're not already subscribed, leave any comments down below with any feedback you'd like to give us. If you're listening to us on Spotify or iTunes, we thank you so much for taking the time to listen to us, and you can reach out to us at animesecrets.org to give us some feedback, and you can also check out our other podcasts, the Animated Classified and Jedi Squadron podcast, and also check us out on our social media pages on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all of our other social media websites. You can check us out there to give us feedback. And that about wraps this up. We thank you guys so much again for taking the time to listen to us. And we'll see you guys next time when we start to take a look at Seiju Sentai Gingaman. But until that time, you guys stay safe. We love you, and may the power protect you.